I'm reading today from the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 14, in verses 1 to 11, it says about Jesus. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honour, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honour, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honoured in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord. We're going to hear now from Nigel.
Good morning. Welcome once more to the online services of St. John's, Knutsford and Toft. Once again, you're very welcome. It's lovely to have you joining with us in this way. And I do hope and pray that you'll be able to join with us next week. For next week, we'll be starting a new sermon series based on the Gospel of Matthew, looking at chapters 13 to 16. And for the next 5 weeks, we'll have a number of guest speakers. We'll be joined by Bishops Rod Thomas and Wallace Benn, as well as George Crowder, Vicar of St. John's Winsford, and Mark Wallace, priest in charge of St. Peter's and St. Botolph's in Colchester. Do tune in. Church Society have done us a great service in putting on these services for us online. But before I begin, I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 42 and then from Romans 1. In Psalm 42, the psalmist writes, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." That's Psalm 42, the first two verses. And then from Romans chapter 1, reading verses 22 and 23. Paul writes, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." And so today we're looking at some parables, these short stories that Jesus told. And today we're looking at a parable that Jesus told at a meal, sitting in the house of a Pharisee. And so the first question to ask is, why is Jesus there? And the answer, the theological answer that Luke has been giving over and over again, is that Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. And so it is, way back in chapter 5, one of the first things that Jesus did after he preached his first sermon was to call Matthew to be his disciple. And everyone was absolutely horrified. everyone was appalled because Matthew was working for the Romans. He was a Jew working for the oppressors, for the tyrant and dictator Julius Caesar. And in so doing, extracting money from his own brothers and sisters, betraying them, fleecing them. And so they were shocked. And they said, how can this be? How is this even possible? And so they started to call Jesus names. They said, behold, a rabbi who eats with tax collectors and sinners, a friend of sinners. That was meant as an insult, that Jesus was a friend of sinners, a lover of outcasts, a man who ate with prostitutes, with the unrighteous. And Jesus said, yes, yes, I am. I am a friend of sinners. I'm a friend of all those who have fallen short, who have exchanged the glory of God for things that can never satisfy. I'm a friend to all those who live in the land of the shadow of death. I'm a friend to all those who are trying to slake their thirst by drinking from cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I'm a friend to all those who are friendless and who are seeking to be welcomed and accepted and loved. That's why I've come into this world. I've not come into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world might be saved through me. For I've come to lay down my life for my sheep. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I've come to give up my life as a ransom for many. And so that's why Jesus is at the house of a prominent Pharisee. He has been invited as a guest to a great meal. And of course, Jesus goes. He goes to the meal for the same reason that he called Matthew. He has gone to the meal to call sinners, to call them home, to call them back to the Father. But Luke tells us that as Jesus goes to the meal, he is being watched. He's being watched carefully to see if he would heal a man on the Sabbath, to see if he would make whole a man suffering from dropsy, which was a terrible disease. Some think it may have been a type of ascites, which is when your liver is not working as it should, and so it cannot process liquid in the normal way. And so what happens is that the body is forced to retain all the liquid that you drink. So what happens is that all the cavities of the body fill up with water. Your stomach becomes grossly distended. Your legs swell and hurt. You feel sick. At times the fluid can start to build up in your lungs so that you feel as if you are drowning. And all the while you're suffering from a raging thirst. So as if you're burning up inside. Burns are terrible things. If you burn yourself on a hot stove, for example, the burn can last for days, but at least you can put your hand in water, but this is a burning up on the inside. It's an internal burning. It's as if your internal organs are on fire. And so here are all these people watching Jesus because they placed this man in front of him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath, which was a violation of the law. And if they did, if they could, they wanted to get him on a technicality. And so they are watching him closely. But I want you to notice something else. For the Pharisees were watching Jesus, Jesus is also watching them. Luke tells us that at the meal, Jesus noticed how they all chose the places of honor, which is astonishing. For it was a great honor to have been invited to the meal in the first place. A tremendous privilege. To be invited to a meal at the house of a prominent Pharisee was not something that happened to you every day. But despite the fact that all those who had invited had already been honored, they were still thirsting for greater honor. They were still thirsting for more honor. For they not only wanted to be invited, they wanted to sit in the places of greatest honor. Why? Because they wanted honor upon honor. They wanted glory upon glory. And you think, well, what's going on here? There must be something deeper going on. Well, I think to a certain extent we can understand what is going on. But back in the day, all of this was hugely magnified. Because back in the day, patronage was hugely important. It was what bound the whole of society together. For Roman society was so constructed that you had the haves and you had the have-nots. And so you had benefactors on the one hand and clients on the other. And they were all, as it were, locked in a terrible dance. You could not escape it. There was nothing you could do. It was just the way things were. And if you were one of the have-nots, you needed a wealthy patron. And what these wealthy patrons would do was to saunter across the forum or the marketplace, and clients would approach them. There'd be men who needed favors. There would be men who needed the keys to get in on the inside. They needed the passwords. They needed the nod of acceptance. They needed a friend who was on the inside, and so they needed help, advice, a helping hand. They needed a friend with power and influence. They needed somebody, the right somebody, to have a quiet word in the right person's ear, like a senator or a governor. So if you needed a loan, a gift, a favor, if you needed a door to be opened, you needed one of these benefactors who could smooth your path, give you a break, oil the slides. And so very often meals were not just meals. They were far, far more than that, because it was at these meals that deals were done. It was at these meals that doors that were shut were suddenly opened. And so who you sat next to was hugely important. For many, it could be a make or break situation. And this is what Jesus noticed when he saw that all were seeking the places of honor. Well, of course they were. They had to. They were bound to. Because they were all in this dance. Because they were all burning up. Burning up like the man with dropsy on the inside. They were all thirsting. It's as if an unquenchable flame had been lit inside of them. And so the shame of choosing a place of honor and then being asked by the host to sit lower down the table must have been totally and absolutely crushing. And so what do we have at this meal? On the one hand, you have a swollen, distended man, full of water, yet suffering from a raging thirst. Sitting at the table were those who had honor upon honor already bestowed, yet they were still thirsting for more. And then you have Jesus sitting there, and he heals the man. He sends him away, so he's thirsty no more. And you know what I find so fascinating is that at the very end of his life, after Jesus had been lifted up on the cross, and as he hung suspended between heaven and earth, we are told that he cried out with a rending cry, "I thirst." A lot of people, as they read that, think, well, of course, he is thirsty. He is burning up on the inside because he's been impaled on a cross under the hot Mediterranean sun. And so a huge fire has been stoked inside of him. Now, of course, he is thirsty for water. He is thirsty for cooling water. But he's also thirsting for something else. He is here thirsting for God. You say to me, well, how do you know that? How do you know he's thirsting for God? I can understand that he's thirsting for water. But how do you know he's thirsting for his Father? Well, you need to understand what is happening on the cross. You need to understand its theological significance. For what is happening on the cross is that Jesus Christ is not only being cut off from literal cooling springs of water, he's also being cut off from the ultimate cosmic stream of living water. He is being cut off from his Father. You say to me, perhaps, how do I know that? I say to you, come to me back to Psalm 42. From that psalm, you have, as it were, Jesus talking. And he is saying, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. Notice that. Notice the connection. Jesus saying that as the deer is being hunted and wants nothing more than to quench its thirst with physical water, so my soul is thirsty for you, O God. But it's not thirsty for physical water. Notice the connection. His soul is thirsting for a relationship, for intimacy, for God. And so here is Jesus on the cross. And he's taken upon himself the cosmic thirst of the whole human race. He's taking on your thirst, your spiritual thirst. He's taking on my spiritual thirst. He's taking on the thirst of all sinners. He's taken upon himself the thirst of sinners who thought that what their soul was searching for could be found in this world. And so he's taken upon himself the sins of the tax collectors and the prostitutes. For they were thirsting for wealth and security on the one hand, and intimacy and love on the other. But he's also taking upon himself the thirst of the righteous Pharisees. For though they were moral and upstanding, they were still searching for honor and glory, not from God, but from each other, which is almost worse. Jesus was once in debate with the Pharisees, and he cried out in exasperation, and he said, "How can you believe? It's almost impossible that you should believe, for you accept glory from one another, yet you do not seek the glory that comes from the only God." And so what we have all done is taken our thirst for God and foolishly thought that it could be quenched by the things of this world. As Paul puts it in Romans chapter 1, a fearful exchange has taken place. For we have taken the glory of God and exchanged it for images, for mirages, for fantasies, for idols. Paul says, for mortal men and for birds and beasts and reptiles. In other words, anything in this world, anything in the heavens above, like the birds, or on the earth beneath, or on the earth beneath, like the beasts, or the reptiles who hide in holes under the earth. And as Jesus takes our deep thirst into his soul, God's wrath, the wrath of his Father, descends upon him, and he cries out, "My soul is burning, I thirst." For it is not just the Middle Eastern sun that is burning down on him. It is the burning fire of a cosmic sun. It is a divine burning. Jesus is like the rich man in the parable that he once told, who cried out from hell, saying, send Lazarus, to dip the tip of his finger in water and to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. I must draw this to a close. And as I do so, I would like to invite all of you who have been listening to come to Jesus Christ, to come to him and say, "Father, forgive me. Forgive me for turning away from you. Forgive me for seeking glory, honor, status, and intimacy in the things of this world, in birds and beasts and reptiles. Forgive me for trying to drink from cisterns that can hold no water. Thank you that you took on my thirst on the cross so that I might be set free." Would you please pray that prayer? Let me say this. If you pray that prayer sincerely, you will be set free. Jesus said, I have come to set you free. Do you see what Jesus said in the parable? He said, if you come to me, you'll be set free to give up your table, your seat at the head of the table. You'll be able to scorn the shame of sitting at the lower place because you will know that one day soon, Jesus Christ himself on the great last day, the day of judgment, will say to you, come, move up higher. And then you'll have an honored place, an honored presence in the presence of my Father and all the angels. Amen.